Coming up just a few minutes here on Air Talk, we're going to hear from you if you went to a particularly notable Rolling Stones concert, a chance for you to share your memories, what made it such a great experience. This is the Stones. Prepare to play the Rose Bowl tonight, even at their advanced age. Maybe not for rock musicians anymore. There's so many of the heritage acts that are still out on the road. But the Stones, of course, they can fill stadiums and continue to do so. So you have a chance to share your favorite Stones concert. That's coming up later this hour here on KPECC. But right now, we talk about the state of the U.S. economy and whether we're heading towards a recession. The National Association for Business Economics earlier this week surveyed business economists, and about three-quarters of them say that they're concerned that President Trump's economic policies could send the U.S. into a recession by the end of 2021. Joining us, President of Path Financial LLC, based in Florida, contributor to Forbes magazine, Raul Elizalde. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us. Where do you think we're headed?
I think that if we are going for a recession, it will happen before 2021. I think that's way too far out. And if that is the case, I think that there is time between now and then to take care of that. But I think that all the indicators that I see are suggesting that the recession is much closer than 2021. I think that we could start seeing some significant deceleration in the next couple of quarters.
What are the factors you see that you think are precursors to recession?
Well, one of them, first of all, let me say that strong economic indicators don't necessarily weaken in advance of a recession, right? I mean, right before the last couple of recessions, retail sales was at an all-time high, industrial production was at an all-time high, unemployment was very low, just like today. So when you look at economic indicators, you don't really see that. What you start seeing some, the big headline indicators, but you start seeing some things that the market is telling you. The massive curve flattening, I think, is a big flashing orange light that is telling you that something is happening. Not just the inversion between the twos and 10 U.S. Treasury bonds, but just forward rates, the fact that rates are negative in much of the developed world. All those things are very concerning to me. The consumer is not strong, as people seem to believe. I mean, that's a mantra that has been repeated over and over and over, how strong the consumer is, but that I don't see that as being the case. When people look at personal consumption expenditures, which is what people look at when they say, oh, the consumer is just, you know, on fire. Well, let's remember what that is. Personal consumption expenditures is goods plus services. Goods is the stuff that you buy when you feel flush. Services are what you have to pay because you have to. Healthcare, the rent, financial services, education. And those things have, the price of that has gone up a lot. And it's far more important in the component of consumer spending than the stuff that you buy because you feel flush. So I don't see that the consumer is particularly in good shape.
Hold that thought. We'll come back. Raul Elizalde joining us. He's president of Path Financial LLC, investment financial advisor. Also with us, founding partner of Beacon Economics, director of the UC Riverside Center for Economic Forecasting and Development, Chris Thornburg. Chris, good to have you with us.
Nice to be back, Larry.
So, Chris, you think a lot of this is overblown talk?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say that while I appreciate the comments of Raul, I would say that much of what he said I would functionally disagree with. Just take a broad step back. Recessions are anomalies. They are odd periods of time, and they don't just happen. There has to be a reason. There has to be a cause. If you go back to 2008 and 2009, when we had the Great Recession, the cause of that Great Recession had to do in the preceding years where there was massive imbalances. People were spending too much. We were building way too much housing. There was explosion of consumer credit, diminishment of the quality of consumer credit. Didn't matter how good the indicators were at the top. Obviously, there was an enormous amount of rot in the foundation. It was only a function of time before things collapsed in. There are no imbalances like that in the U.S. economy. And without a major imbalance to create a shock that could create a recession, I don't know how you could predict a recession. I don't really care what the financial markets say. The U.S. economy is not in that position right now.
And I guess there's always the potential for unseen or little credited factors, like the collapse of the housing market, you know, ultimately being a driver. So that could always happen, right? But you said you're just not seeing the indicators now.
Right. Look, there could always be some mystery shock to the system. Perhaps it's something we haven't seen before. We don't have a good metric on. Perhaps I'm just not seeing it. I've never, no one's a perfect forecaster. But at least from my looking at things, all the indicators that I consider continue to flash green. Take the consumer, because I think it's important to talk about the American consumer. Consumer spending is close to 70% of GDP. If the consumer is healthy, they can push us through a lot of external turmoil, including this trade war. When people say the consumer is healthy, we're not talking about trends in spending. That's an effect, not a cause. When I say the consumer is healthy, what I'm talking about is, A, they haven't picked up a lot of debt. In fact, over the last 8 years, you've seen a diminishment in debt-to-income ratios because credit hasn't been expanding that fast. Savings rates are very good. They're at 8%, which is the highest it's been in 20 years, a very good sign for the economy because people have space. And, of course, because of the very tight labor markets, wages are rising really at a record pace right now relative to the last decade. So you have three major indicators that all suggest that the consumer is spending within line, they continue to see better economic circumstances, and almost assuredly that means continued growth in consumer spending, which will largely offset, I think, any kind of external turmoil between the United States and China because of these reciprocal tariffs.
Raul Elizalde, your response to that?
There are some good points, in particular the first one, that recessions are caused by things that probably you haven't seen. With the consumer spending, I do not see the strength. I see that consumer spending is going up strongly, but for the wrong reasons. It's because of all those inelastic elements that make up the consumer spending, as I mentioned, education, prescription drugs, bank fees. When you look at the price indices for those components, they have gone through the roof. There is just no option for the consumer to say no. And then when you look at the total dollars, it is a strong proportion of GDP, but for the wrong reasons.
But what Chris was saying, if I understood him correctly, is despite that, savings are up, people taking on debt is going down. So even with those increases on spending that has to be made, people are coping with that.
Look, the debt is a very important issue. And that was the trigger for the last recession. Not so much, I think, the headline numbers of the of debt, but all the contingent liabilities that nobody knew existed. When the real estate market took a turn, all of a sudden, all these debt instruments that were nobody knew existed in the form of collateralized debt obligations, credit swaps, all these strange things that that were not tabulated anywhere came out to light and brought the financial system to the brink of a cliff. I see something similar happening today. The government debt is worrisome, but that's not it. The problem is private debt. When you have and it's probably true that the consumer is not in bad shape. The who is in really bad shape is the corporate sector. The problem is that the banking system has been disintermediated. In 2007, businesses borrowed just as much from banks than by issuing bonds in the capital markets. Right now, businesses are funding themselves twice as much in the capital markets as in as from banks. Most of that debt has increased in the triple B credit rating category, which means that it's right on the edge of the junk bond netherworld. And if there is any problem rolling out that huge amount of debt that has been created, I think that that we'll see credit spread increases, string of bankruptcies, okay, that can quickly snowball.
Chris Thornburg, quick final word on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, you could see it. It isn't true you couldn't see it in the data. There was an explosion of credit at multiple levels within the system, and it was obvious for anybody who was willing to look in 2006 that we had a big problem. None of those indicators are in place now. And while I agree that there has been a diminishment in the quality of debt, largely because of the displacement of banks, I completely agree with that statement. Here's a more important statement, fact. Overall debt levels haven't grown. And ultimately, this debt cannot by itself create a recession. It has to create imbalances in the real economy, and those will create the recession. If there are no imbalances in the real economy, there won't be a recession. Now, again, that debt problem that's been described is real, but we're not going to see it until a real problem arises, and that could be 4, 5, 6 years from now.
Beacon Economics founding partner Chris Thornburg. Chris, always good to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
And our thanks to financial advisor Raul Elizalde, based in Florida, president of Path Financial, joining us on Air Talk. Coming up, we look forward to the Stones tonight at the Rose Bowl. They bring their tour to Southern California. But I want to hear from you right now, your favorite memory of the Stones in concert. Could be here in Southern California. It could be around the world. 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Back after this live update from Michelle Faust-Raghavan.